This is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 6, recorded on September 24th, 2023. How you doing, Pirate?
I'm good, Chewie. How are you doing, buddy?
We are great here, and we're going to open up this show to talk about some of our new equipment. I got a new Tascam podcast mixer. So I think you guys should be able to, or at least our listeners should be able to hear the difference. I know I already do, because before we were having to put our mouths right on the corner of the microphone. Things weren't picking up well because I had some old equipment. But
hell, I didn't even have headphones for the last couple episodes here.
No, you didn't at all. So there's going to be some adjustment here. You might hear a little clipping here and there because I'm still learning to dial in where it is. Like, even for Pirate's voice, I have to lower him down a little bit because his microphone's a little more sensitive than mine. But what's cool about this is this, it's just we're able to have up to 4 guests on the show. If we ever get there, we can have somebody call in, because my phone can hook up to this thing via Bluetooth, so we can actually have a caller call in. And I'm not going to do too much of this, but every now and then we get sound pads on here so I can do a little sound effects. I know that's annoying and sounds a little childish, but
I love it. Do it again.
You know, you're going to hear that again. Yeah, we got a little air horn here. We got a little applause here.
There we go.
There we go. A little bit of applause, but nothing too loud. But I still have to figure out how to program that part of it. So I got the basics down because I said, hey man, I want to do a show today. Let's get a show. We got this new podcast mixer to try out. So just let us know what you think. And we are available at www.akebonaradio.com, and you can also reach us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page called All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewie. It's the title of the show. And we are now on X/Twitter. Just look for Akebono Radio. And if you didn't write all that down, don't worry about it, because they'll all be in the show notes. But it is important for you to at least remember the basic website, because that is where the podcasts are always going to be uploaded to, at the website at akebonoradio.com. So what do you think of this new mixer so far, Pirate?
Oh, I like it. I like the fact that I can finally use my headphones. And I like the fact that it's able to handle multiple microphones. We can do the Bluetooth. It's a larger interface. So, I mean, this thing, right. We should put a picture of it on our...
I already did.
Okay.
So much for paying attention to your own page.
Yeah, I think I did a couple thumbs here and there. But it's going to be a great addition to the show. And the first thing Pirate wants to say is Pirate wants to do a big shout out to our loyal listeners out there. We got a couple of them out there.
Yeah, we do. We've had some people already give us some feedback.
Yeah, so, you know, send us an email.
Yeah, akebonoradio@gmail.com. Like I said, if you can't keep up with any of that, just the regular podcast site, our webpage, akebonoradio.com, we'll have all that information in there. And then, you know, you can chime in either way. You can send us an email. You can chime in on us on Twitter or X. I don't even know what you call it. I know it's actually still twitter.com, but they named it to X for some reason.
Elon was trying to be different from the original name, and he just wants to be different all the time.
You're right. Right. Well, he's just changing things up. That's what he does.
Well, the thing is, if we get some emails in here and the listeners would like to ask some questions, or they want us to present something on the air, or they just got a topic they would like us to, you know, chat about.
Right. Hey, right.
Send it in. We'll definitely bring it out there and put it on the show.
We got to get you a new microphone here soon though, buddy, because I already hear the difference on the show now between a podcast microphone
sound like
and
a coffee can.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, your microphone's more for a concert, more for a stadium venue to block out more background noise, but there will be improvements as we go. So
this
either
is
way,
a concert, Chewie.
It's a concert.
It's a Pirate and Chewie's concert, man.
It's a concert between you and me.
That's right, man.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and get into some news here, get the show rolling. I'm going to start out with a little follow-up news here. And we talked about the last show about the UAW strike, and I previously reported that they put down they shut down an offer on a 16% raise, which I was like, wow, that's a pretty generous 16% raise. They turn it down. Looks, turns out I was wrong. They are demanding a 22% raise. So they shot down a 21% raise proposal. I'm like, when have you ever gotten that kind of raise? Because I know I haven't, unless maybe I changed a job. I mean, I have gotten in that kind of raise, but only because I had to change a job because my current company wasn't willing to pay what I was asking for. But staying with the same company, have you ever even heard anything like that before?
No, I haven't heard of it ever. And excuse me, you know what that means? It just means the price of vehicles is just going to go sky high.
Yeah.
Sky high.
Well, the Qinglong cars are continuing to be manufactured because they're not on strike and they're in all right to work states.
Yeah. Yeah. Those Qing cars are doing fine. They're just, you know, motoring along. And most people buy them cars, by the way, anyways.
Well, see, the problem I see is that I think there's, again, we've talked about corporate greed before, but it's not just the union. It's also the corporations. It's also the federal government putting in these regulations, you know, like I talked before, the backup cameras and all these other things. So they're increasing the cost of a car because they say all in the guise of safety, and the manufacturers roll it off to us. So either way, the corporations, the unions are all doing pretty well. So I don't know where they get off asking for that kind of raise. On top of that, they want to work a 32-hour work week, but still get paid for 40 hours. So, you know, standard 8-hour shift, but they feel that they're entitled to get another 8 hours of pay for not working. I mean, I've never heard of that.
I've never seen anything like that before. I mean,
never heard of anything like that.
I've heard of vacation, personal paid time, sick time, family leave time, but not
no.
Take an 8-hour day off a week time.
No.
I mean, who does that benefit? You know, only the employee. The company has to, you know, build vehicles. And I can see this causing major price increases, major problems with inventory interruption because they don't have enough staff. Or either that, they're going to have to hire more staff to increase the workload and to cover for all those guys that are on their little 8-hour day off. It's just ridiculous.
Well, I don't see where this benefits anybody other than the select people who are demanding this. I don't even know if it's going to work out or not. And for one reason or another, and he's a grown man, he can make his own decisions. Former President Trump is going to go visit the union. I don't know if he's for them, against them, but they're welcoming a meeting for him to come in. So I don't know. What do you think that's all about?
Well, I do know that. Excuse me, guys. I got frogs in my throat galore today. I don't know what happened. Anyways, I do know that many unions had voted for Trump in the 2016 election. Many of them supported him. And I think a lot of them still do because of the fact that the economy was good for car builders in those days. And
Yeah. I mean, because Trump is a New York guy. He was a Democrat before he switched parties. So, you know, that becomes another whole topic of is there really much of a difference in the parties anymore? Other than a couple idealistic things, I don't see much difference in the parties anymore. I think they're all the same.
We should even pay attention to party. It should be what are your ideals? What are your ideals and what?
Well, their ideas. My point is I don't see much difference between the two parties. They're all about big government. They're all about spending more money. They're all about just expanding government.
Corporate greed as well.
Corporate greed. Hey, the corporate greed are in the corporations are in the pockets of politicians. That's how they get paid off. That's how they get bills passed.
Yeah. And you know, as far as the car builders, it would be in their best interest just to get the government out of their pockets and get the government away as far away as possible. And I think they would go smooth sailing after that. It just don't have any interference with the government. This is the bottom line here with this situation.
Well, I agree with you, and we'll keep an eye on the story if there's another follow-up to it. I think this is actually our first follow-up segment. I just thought about this, and I'm like, my reporting was wrong, so being a citizen journalist, I correct myself, and I was just off by the numbers a little bit, but I don't know. Maybe it sounds like I should join the union or something.
Yeah. Von Fetterman here has recently stirred up a bunch of BS lately. He's a Democrat from Pennsylvania, Chewy.
He is the senator. He is also called Uncle Fester affectionately.
Yeah, he kind of looks like it.
He does look like an Uncle Fester.
Yeah. What's happening here is the whole situation with the, as far as the dress code.
Yes,
in the Senate.
The dress code, which he's been popular for recently.
He's been very popular. He goes around, he favors and sports the gym shorts, the sweater. I guess he wears Carhartt hoodie.
The hoodie.
Yeah, he walks around, you know, looking like he's a big hoodie. And, you know, he just walks around in tennis shoes. And, you know, when he's on the Senate floor and the other guys are wearing their traditional business attire, he just looks awkward, I think. And it's just not a business professional attire.
Well, wasn't he given approval to wear that kind of attire?
Yes, he was. So recently, Mr. Chuck Schumer, Senator Schumer, he is the Democrat from New York. He has directed the Sergeant at Arms to no longer enforce the chambers to have informal dress code or for all of its members there of the Senate. Basically, they can just come in looking like Uncle Fester, I guess. Can you imagine?
Well, how do you feel about that? Do you think it's okay to be casual, or do you think you should dress formally?
No, it's disrespectful to the government.
So you think you should be dressed formally?
Yeah, I mean, do you want a cop to show up in gym shorts and a tank top and a
so their uniform, your preferred uniform for a senator or a congressman is dress appropriate, shirt, tie, jacket, maybe even a lady. Don't come in with the mini skirt on or coming in look like a hoochie mama or anything like that.
No hoochie mama. I mean, you could come in, you know, I see some places nowadays, the relaxed business code, maybe it's just a formal shirt buttoned up, maybe one button undone. Maybe you don't need a tie. I mean, I think ties are a little bit overboard sometimes, but as long as you're in slacks, dress shoes, you know, you got to distinguish the people from these are business people. And they're doing their lawyers, basically. They're representing our country and making laws.
So the look is important. You dress for success kind of thing.
Yes, you do. I mean, now, obviously, every industry or every career, every job has its own dress code. I mean, you wouldn't want the doctor to come into the room without his lab coat. You wouldn't want him to come in with the hoodie and shorts on. You would look at him, go, this guy's going to work on me. I mean, obviously, if he comes in the lab coat, he's got nice shoes on.
Looking professional.
Right. The priest of your church. I mean, you're not going to have him come in looking like he's, you know, just played basketball all day. I mean,
That's what Senator Fetterman looks like to me. He looks like he's been playing basketball all day.
Yeah, I wish he would. But the thing is, it's just there. This has been a challenging thing here lately between both sides of the Senate. And I think it's a big smoke screen here. It's just a big, you know.
Well, it sounds like it's something to talk about. Kind of like what we're talking about now.
Yeah, it's a big distraction. So anyways, Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat from West Virginia.
Yep.
He's preparing to issue a bipartisan resolution next week that would reinstate the Senate's dress code after Chuck Schumer had relaxed the rules last weekend.
So a fellow Democrat is disagreeing with Chuck Schumer's new dress code that he's basically giving favoritism to Fetterman. And then, but you know, the funny thing about him showing the favoritism and changing this dress code, that also means other senators can do it then.
Yeah.
Can you see a bunch of slobs hanging out in the chamber, basically?
I think it would just make our government look terrible and disrespectful.
Well, they're already they already act like a joke right now. So, yes. You know, what difference is? I mean, I understand what you're saying. I'm not held up so much on the dress code per se, because I'm more about the way they conduct themselves in general is to me, it's not that the dress code's that not big of a deal, because they already run the government pretty crappy as it is right now. We just hit, I believe, $33 trillion the other day in debt. And that's what causes inflation, because our money is devalued. And the dress code to me thing is like, yes, I think it could be an issue. But at the same time, it's like they got a lot of other things to work on. So I think it's just the old classic distraction.
Yeah, it is a big distraction. And he was also Lieutenant Governor, Fetterman was, for Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And he was also, the same way, using the same dress code, hoodie, basketball shorts, basketball shoes, just looking all sloppy like he just got out of bed.
Oh, so that's how he dressed back then.
Yeah, so it's not like this is a new thing. I kind of thought it was, but I did some deeper research and found out that it was a problem there in the Pennsylvania government there at the state government.
Oh, so it's been addressed or complained about before, the way he dresses.
Yes, and they say, a lot of people are saying, well, is he using this as an excuse to wear the sportswear because of his stroke, his depression, and is this, are they trying to accommodate him to make him feel comfortable? And I think, what is there to make comfortable? He signed up for this job. This is what he's doing. He's a senator.
Yeah.
He knows the prerequisites. Dress professional, show up on time. There's been lots of meetings.
Well, the challenge is basically his boss, Chuck Schumer, who is the lead senator right now, thinks it's okay.
Yes. Yeah. And that's terrible because he condones it. So, he's got another statement here that he made after the Senate made the dress code adjustment to accommodate him. And of course, it was drawing a lot of criticism from the Republicans. So, we're getting close to the 2 weeks of deadline here for the government shutdown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They got to work on another budget.
Yeah. And so this guy, Fetterman, this is what he said. He goes, this is, quote, "If those jagoffs in the House stop trying to shut our government down and fully support Ukraine, then I will save democracy by wearing a suit on the Senate floor next week."
Oh, but is his statement there? I kind of misheard you. Is he for the war in Ukraine, or is he just saying the GOP is only focusing on the war in Ukraine?
Well, he wants them to stop trying to shut our government down and fully support Ukraine.
Oh, okay. So he is pro Ukraine.
Yeah.
Well, there's his contradiction. There's a lot of people in the GOP that are for this Ukraine thing too. So I would love to hear him say that at the podium or speaking, because a written statement is a lot different from the way he talks. And I'm just not impressed with the way he talks. And it's like, you're picking on me because he had a stroke. No, it just I expect a senator to be more coherent. And you've got to wonder, Dr. Oz is probably like, I lost to this guy.
Yeah, there must be some really dead people.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Oz is probably just like, I cannot believe I lost to this guy. But you know what? Let's go by the people voted for him, and be careful what you ask for, because you just may get it.
Well, that whole district there where he's a senator, I'm sure they're just kicking themselves right now.
Well, they picked it.
They did.
Amazon Prime Video will show ads unless you pay $3 more a month. So they said they'll start appearing in U.S., Canada, and parts of Europe in the early 2024. Prime Video users will soon see ads on shows and movies unless they pay an extra $3 a month on top of their regular Prime subscription. Amazon has announced, starting in early 2024, Prime Video shows and movies will include limited advertisements, the company wrote, noting that the pricing for the ad-free tier will be announced for additional countries at a later date. The news represents a significant change of Prime Video, which hadn't previously served ads next to movies and TV content as part of its Amazon Prime subscription. The streaming service is currently included for free with Prime or $9 a month if purchased separately, offering third-party content. So I don't know how I feel about this, man, because just like a Costco or Sam's Club membership, we pay for Amazon Prime, which is about $150 a month. And part of being a Prime customer is you get the free next day shipping, and then the music, and then the TV. So it's like, it's not a lot of money, $3 a month. But being a principled person, I'm like, where are they? They're not hurting for money, is I guess what it comes down to. I guess that's where I'm frustrated. I'm like, they are not hurting for money. Why are they doing this?
Well, it's again, some type of corporate greed here. And
boy, that's become our favorite word.
And it's always the same principle. Somebody's going to pay and it's not going to be me.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, you got to think about that. They sit around in some study somewhere and was just like, yeah, this is this will bring in, you know, extra millions, mounds of dollars more. And it's like, really, for what? For what?
Well, it's going to turn off some viewers for sure, because for one, some people just don't. I hate when I watch a certain show.
I hate commercials, too.
And there's like, you know, it tells you, like, I think Paramount, I'll have some shows I'll watch. And it'll tell you in the corner of the screen, you got a 1 minute 50 or 2 minute 50 of commercials coming.
Right, right.
Well, the only good thing about that I do like is that I know I got 2 minutes and 50 seconds.
Take a break.
To go to the bathroom, grab another Miller Lite, you know, get another sandwich, whatever, and come back to the couch real quick.
Right, right.
But other than that, it's just a big interruption. And I'm thinking, hell, I paid for this shit. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't be interrupted. I know they got to make their money some way, but...
They already do. I mean, come on, Amazon. I mean, they're not hurting for money.
I mean, they do have a lot of employees. I just don't know what they're. I have to look up, do some research on their you know, profit loss and all that good stuff.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on this, because it's just like anything else. You know, I guess I do pay the extra to not have commercials on Paramount. I do pay the extras to not have the commercials on Peacock. So, but the thing is, I got to read the room. Do I watch that many Prime videos? I don't. No. So maybe I'm willing to put up with a commercial here or there, just to save the $3 a month.
Well, it's like Netflix doesn't have commercials right now.
Right. And they've been rumoring they might do that on another tier.
Yeah. Can you imagine you're watching one of your favorite series and boom, right in the middle of the episode, you got a couple commercials.
And I guess I just get pissed off by that, because it's, again, the corporate greed. Here's our favorite word. Yes. It just, they are making good money, but all they see is, well, if we run advertisements, not only do they get money from, because advertisers are sponsors. So not only will they have a set amount that you and I will never know about unless you work for these companies. Also, they're going to milk another $3 a month out of us. And again, that's not expensive. But when you multiply it by all the Prime users, and then, you know, it'll turn into millions of dollars. Like USF, their parking is quite expensive. And there was a study that was put out by their paper called The Oracle. And they made an extra $2.5 million a year just on parking passes. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of change right there, you know, just for the privilege of parking at the school. So I just see it as another way to suckle more money out of the common man. But
yeah,
I think it'll backfire on them, at least because a lot of people are getting tired of all this. You know, the whole idea of cutting the cord and going to streaming is so you're not paying as much as you were with cable, but they're slowly bringing those prices right back up.
Yeah, before you know it, you're going to have to, you know, you're either going to have to cut streaming, cut the cord. What are you going to cut? Because everything's going to be too much for people to afford.
Yeah, yeah, I get you. So we'll see where this goes.
Okay, Pirate here. We are doing a follow-up on the Republican debate. It's coming up. The second one here on this Wednesday, Chewy.
Yeah, it probably wasn't the last show, but I think the show before you brought up the debate, because we talked about how Donald J. Trump is not showing up again.
Yes, yes. So this time we've got some new folks as moderators. We got Dana Perino. You know her.
I am actually reading her book right now, which is called Everything is Gonna Be Okay.
Yep, yeah, that's a good book.
And she's a hottie.
Oh, yeah. And then we got Stuart Viney.
Oh, Stuart.
Yeah, the Fox business.
So Fox is running the debate again, basically, just with different moderators, because these are all Fox folks, because the last one was Martha McCallahan and Brett Baer.
And then we got Univision's Lila Calderon.
The Latin angle there. Okay.
She's going to represent. Yeah.
Okay.
And so guess where this is being held at?
Where at?
Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. In Simi Valley, California.
I was just about to ask, where is that at? I was going to assume California, but sometimes you don't always assume because Ronald Reagan was a California man.
And this is a smaller venue with a capacity of 700 people, so much smaller than the Milwaukee venue.
Okay.
A lot smaller.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a very tight group of people, closer. So they're going to be focusing on a lot of the economic questions and immigration question, a lot of the stuff that people want to know. Mm-hmm. Last time was just an argument fest all day long.
Yeah, well, are the same people who were there last time going to be in this debate?
Yeah, here's who we have. Chris Christie.
Okay, old fat ass.
Ron DeSantis.
I can't help it.
I know. Every time you say that.
Well, I just think I see him as Cartman from South Park, and I know you haven't watched that yet because you got your homework to do. You got to start watching South Park, okay. But that's what he is. It's the character Kyle calls him Fat Ass.
Fat Ass.
Yeah. Oh, Fat Ass. Get up.
Well, Chris Christie, he's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Ron DeSantis, our governor here from Florida.
Yes, Governor Ron.
Nikki Haley, former ambassador of the United Nations.
Former governor of South Carolina.
That as well. We got Mike Pence, former vice president. Vivek Ramaswamy.
Oh, Mr. Zinger.
Yeah.
He got a bunch of zingers.
Former entrepreneur. And we got Tim Scott, senator from South Carolina.
Okay, so the field has been narrowed down a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. I don't see Bergeron on there.
Mm-hmm.
And who else? The Arkansas governor is not there either.
No, Arkansas governor right now is Sarah Huckabee.
No, the former, what was his name?
Mike Huckabee?
No, the one before that.
There's another guy. Okay. It's okay.
Anyways.
It doesn't matter.
I'm having a brain lapse here.
It doesn't matter.
So Donald Trump will not attend again. He's reached, of course, his donor thresholds, and he has still not signed the RNC pledge.
I don't know if this is a good thing for him or not, you know, because it's he is arrogant, but he's showing arrogance by not showing up to these debates, because what he's telling the Republicans is that he is the candidate for the party, and they haven't gone through that process yet, man.
Well, I mean, he might have something there. I mean, really, somebody's really got to get a following here between these candidates that are in the debate. I mean, somebody's got to take a lead. And so far, nobody has a lead. I mean, who would you pick out of these people that's going to get a lead? I mean, there's
the only one that somewhat impressed me was Haley. But that take that with a grain of salt. Tim Scott. I like Tim Scott. He doesn't seem to be too much of a bad guy. But honestly, I don't know a whole lot about him either. I have a suspicion that he's just another swamp guy. I mean, I could be totally wrong with that, but I am just not impressed with any of these candidates so far. And maybe that is Trump's arrogance coming out saying, well, these people will never beat me. And as far as the polls right now, he's actually right.
Yeah. I mean, the polls are there. He's leading. Nobody is close to him. Ron DeSantis is
right. Not even close.
Not even close. He's way back there. And you know, yes, maybe one of these fellers here or women could run with him as a vice president, but recently Trump has also stated that Kristi Noem.
There are rumors the VP candidate
with him, and this would be a great ticket, I think.
And it's a tease because he can't even declare that yet because he's not the candidate. But the rumor swirling now gets people talking about that.
Yes,
you know, she's kind of nice on the eyes. I know that's not what's the word? That shouldn't be a condition of why you should vote for somebody, but just being a normal dude, I'm like, she's hot.
Well, I noticed lately on certain TV channels, certain news TV forums, that she's been airing these commercials about how well she's turned her state around. And as far as,
well, they never shut down during COVID, which is cool in a way. I wish I was up there.
She talked about that. She talked about how she's created all these jobs. She's talked about these incentives now where folks can, like if you're a licensed contractor or something like that, a licensed plumber, electrician, what have you, and you're looking to move to her state of North Dakota, that she would honor that license and you would be able to operate with it until you got up and running for like a year, I think it is.
Well, and eventually you got to recertify anyways, according to their standards. But yeah.
And you know, I started seeing these commercials and I'm just like, is there a reason why they're airing these commercials? Because here we are in Florida or, you know, the southern states, and they're airing something about North Dakota. South Dakota, I'm sorry.
That's
sorry,
okay.
Folks.
No, that's my former state.
Yes.
I just like you were an OH-10 Ohio guy before you moved down here, I moved down here from South Dakota. As a matter of fact, my sister was born there. So I always have a heart connection to South Dakota. And apparently their economy is doing really good. So
apparently it is. And that's why she's boasting about it. And I was just thinking in my head, this is my thinking is, you know, is she just trying to get people introduced to her that mm-hmm. don't know of her and what she's done? And is that why they're airing these commercials? You know,
she has. I have noticed a lot of commercials from her. She's definitely been
not running for anything right now.
Yeah, she's definitely been promoting herself a lot.
She has. She's been promoting a lot, and she's been on a lot of TV shows. And so I'm just thinking, is this a possible Trump gnome ticket in the future?
I think it'd be a pretty awesome ticket. You know?
Oh yeah.
It would be.
She would be for what she's done there in her state, she would be great for the United States.
Yeah.
And if something, you know, after Trump is done with his term, she could always run from there, you know? And that would be great for the United States, I think.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. So I let me see. I think that's all I have on the I'll be watching on Wednesday. I'll take some notes and we'll have an update.
I'm gonna depend on you on that one. I'm gonna skip this one just for the fact that what I saw last time, I was just I was unimpressed. And one of Sean Connery's final movies he did before he retired calls a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and these guys were kicking ass and everything. And his comment was, "I'm waiting to be impressed." So we will see. All right, we are going to talk some Florida news, and Pirate, I'll let you kick off what you have, and then I'll talk and it's a new segment on the show, because anybody who knows anything about Florida, whether you live in this state or you live out of the state, boy, we get the whack-a-moles down here, man, don't we?
Oh yeah. let me do the opening seg. Florida wacky news on the Pirate and Chewy show.
A little bit of playing around there. Okay.
So, oh man. So recently,
if you're already sighing, I'm scared to even hear this, because a lot of times when Pirate and I, just a quick side note, when Pirate and I do show prep, we pretty much just talk about the highlights, but I don't know what he's gotten written down, and he doesn't always know what I gotten written down. The fact that you sighed already, I'm like, oh no.
This is a gruesome story here.
Oh boy.
And it's always, I like alligators.
I'm scared.
Well, here you go, boy. Okay. It's a Florida alligator was spotted with a body in his mouth here in Pinellas County.
Oh, boy.
Which is St. Petersburg, y'all.
Yes, yes, yes.
A 13-foot alligator was killed by officials after it was seen walking along the side of the pond road area with human remains dangling from his big old mouth.
Oh, wait, take that back for a second. They killed the alligator?
Yeah, they had to. I mean, they had a human in his mouth. I'm not going to let him jump back in the pond. Apparently, it got out of the pond, was walking alongside. There's this pond in this subdivision there, and it was just walking along the road.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, whoever got in that pond or got near it became the alligator's dinner. This happened at the 134th Ave North and 121st Street there, that intersection. I'm not familiar with that neighborhood that well. I know where that is, but I don't know 100% what it looks like over there. They say there's a lake or pond near that neighborhood. Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission and the Pinellas Sheriff's humanely killed the alligator.
Okay.
Probably took it out with a pistol or something, you know, rifle.
Yeah, they know where to put the round, so there's, you know, least amount of
you think they had pain a 50 cal out and
pain and suffering. If they hit the brain in the right spot, or if they hit the heart, that's pretty much instant.
They use their you know, nine that they their carry nine.
Maybe 40, I'm not too familiar with how 45. They euthanize alligators, but at least, you know, the thing is that alligators are aggressive no matter what. But it's just funny as a human species that we have to, or as a culture that we have to, put out a message to alligators or any other aggressive animal that if you attack a human being, we're going to put you down. Do you think the word gets out to the rest of the animals not to do that? The alligator was doing what it's bred to do. Not even bred by, you know,
it's instincts.
Animals. It's instinct. It's evolution. You know, it was hungry.
I'm not going to defend the alligator, Chewy. I'm just, I mean,
I am, because it's doing what it's supposed to do.
I know you shouldn't be in a lake or pond. I mean, everybody knows in Florida.
An unknown body of water.
I mean, if you just come to anywhere in the South, South Carolina down, all the way down this way.
Well, it's like anything. Be aware of your surroundings.
You need to be careful if you're in fresh water.
I mean, that poor kid years ago at Disney got munched in a man-made lake, and people were like, well, how the heck did an alligator get into a man-made lake? And I said, well, they have these things called legs, and they can walk across land, and they can go from one body of water to the other. Arrogant people, or ignorant people, not arrogant, ignorant people thought, well, this is a man-made lake. Why are there alligators in there?
Well, I can add to that, because they said witnesses were actually in awe and filming the alligator. They after they allegedly called 911, and they filmed it, and they said they were in disbelief. And others that were around the crime scene said that they weren't even aware that alligators were even in this area of Pinellas County.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Alligators are everywhere, folks.
They are everywhere. We are a swampy state. Well, I got another. You done with that? Because I got another alligator news for you.
Bring another alligator one.
So this one's a cute one, and then we'll move on into the other Florida news. At the Gatorland sanctuary outside of Orlando, they trapped maybe about a 2-footer, still consider a baby. They trapped it, and they're going to give it a good life at the sanctuary, because the top of its mouth, you know how they clamp down?
I've seen this picture.
Was gone.
I've seen the pic of
and
this.
And basically, the top of the mouth, the bottom of the mouth was wide open, and then there was just a head with the eyes, and they think either it got trapped and a boat went over and the propellers
cut the mouth right off.
Cut the mouth right off, or maybe it got into a fight. Either way, it survived, but people who knew of this alligator in the area called Gatorland out to trap the thing. And now they're going to keep it in the sanctuary, the alligator, because it needs special treatment to get fed, because it can't chomp its food. Yeah, that's a good story for an alligator. So we lost one due to, you know, having human supper. And we're saving another one. But yeah, yes, Florida crazy news. And another one I got here is a Florida woman allegedly, so you got to be allegedly, assaulted two people for doing inappropriate stretches at the pool. And the guy commented, she effing attacked us. So a Florida deputy said a woman attacked these two people that they were doing stretches that she thought was inappropriate.
Stretches? What kind of stretches are they doing at swimming pool?
Well, what I've seen on the internet recently, or not lately, with YouTube or TikTok or Instagram, some of these girls can do these full splits against poles and stuff. And basically, the whole hoo-ha hanging out, or, you know, the bikinis, the thongs don't cover a whole lot, so things might pop out a little bit. So I'm just assuming that, because this article doesn't go into that. And I bet you these people were filming each other to, you know, get their likes and comments and all that stuff, just to self-promote.
So they're practicing their pole dancing at the swimming pool on the pole that you slide down on.
Yeah, and probably, you know, and probably doing provocative stuff. But let me get through this article here. Maybe it'll give it a little insight, she said. So Mander Fergamo, 41, was arrested in Sumter County, Florida, after an incident on early Sunday morning. They said a female victim told deputies that she and her male victim were doing stretches when Fergamo smacked and shoved them both. The female victim then stated that the defendants accused them both of doing inappropriate activities and began to shove her and smacked her across the face. The female victim has a red mark on her face indicating she was hit as well, the arrest affidavit states. Deputies responded to the incident at 2:32 a.m. Well, there you go right there. There's some shenanigans going on right there.
2:32 in the morning, they're stretching.
Yeah. No, they were filming each other or probably getting ready to do it. Yes. The veiled victim told a deputy, "She effing attacked us. She's pissed." The deputies wrote an affidavit. The female victim had a red mark on her face indicating she was hit. According to Fox 35, the man and Fergamo are connected in some way, which makes the incident domestic in nature. Officials at the Sumner County Sheriff's Office did not further explain their relationship, and she was transported to the local jail with two counts of batteries, but was released Monday afternoon. So they were screwing around, and she didn't like it. Hey, maybe she was involved with them and a little jealousy going on. Who knows?
We don't know the backstory on that.
Yeah.
Well, I've got another alligator story, folks.
Oh, okay. So we got another. Okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so there's this girl named Madison Stevens, and she's like 24, and she allegedly borrowed, not allegedly, she did. She borrowed a alligator from her previous job at Croc Encounters here in Tampa, Florida. And
what did she do with this alligator?
Well, she borrowed the alligator without permission to bring it to the hotel that she was staying at.
Who borrows an alligator?
I don't know. So she put it in the bathtub, and then her intentions were to take pictures with it to show people for her birthday.
So she wanted to,
this was all for a birthday.
She wanted to self promote on social media and impress her friends
for her birthday.
Typical.
So she kept the alligator in the tub at the resort it was in Winter Garden where she was staying at Grove Resort in Water Park. I've never heard of it, but anyways, her former employer is not pressing charges for theft or trespassing. Stevens was issued a notice to appear in court. Or possession of an alligator.
Oh, possession of an alligator. Okay, well, yeah, we had a bunch of gator news for you and a little Florida news for you. And, you know, as we find out, since we're adjusting to this podcast and doing different segments, you know, I see us doing a little more Florida news because it's something I had done in my previous show because it was just so dang hilarious of all the crazy news that happens in this state. So
well, there's a few other states that we could even add to this segment as we go, because you know there's a couple of them that constantly have something.
Well, one of my sources, though, goes out of their way to, it's a website, and I'll tell you what it is, it's FARC.com. They go out of their way to show crazy Florida news, and I think that's hilarious. I don't know if these people are from Florida or not. I don't know their background, who runs this website, but they love doing segments on Florida news. So
all my life that I've been living here, it's just I always seen the news as outlandish crazy stories or far out stuff, and I always thought, well, that's just normal to have that stuff. But when I tell folks that, you know, live out of state what's going on, or they hear about it, they're like, "Oh, got some crazy people down there," and I'm like, that's just, you know, people that are just, you know.
Well, the irony of the Florida crazy news is that everybody is from somebody else. For everybody here is pretty much from somewhere else. So is that really a Florida thing? I can say a little bit, but the fact that I'm not a native, you're not a native, we've lived here long enough, we might as well be natives. I don't know what the number is to say that you're a native, but as far as saying born here, no. Raised here, yes, you know, but I don't know, man, if that counts as Florida. I just think it's funny how we always get the crazy news here.
So that is the wrap up for the Florida news.
Florida news.
Tonight on Monday Night Football, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing the Philadelphia Eagles at 7:15 p.m. at Tampa. So, yeah, this week we got Baker Mayfield going up against Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and our Bucs are undefeated right now.
So far.
Yeah, they're doing good.
2-0, man.
Did you see that Miami score earlier today, though? Woo! 70-20.
70-20 is a massive lead. What the hell's going on there?
Hey, and I'm a Dolphins fan. That's my AFC team, so I'm happy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll be watching that game. You going to be watching the Eagles and Buccaneers?
Of course I am.
That's going to be a really good game.
I believe at 7:15 tomorrow at Eastern Standard Time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
Have a couple Miller Lights on cold.
And on ABC, actually.
Yes, okay. I didn't get the network, but it is ABC.
Yep, I happened to catch it earlier, so I got you, buddy.
Yeah, so far the NFC leaders are 49ers, 3-0. You know, the rest of the folks were waiting for scores. You know, everybody's kind of 2-0 or 0-2, and nothing really to report on for leaders yet. But on Tuesday, we got NHL starting.
No way! I didn't know about this. They're kicking off a game. Who's playing?
Tampa Bay Lightning.
Really?
Yeah, that's the one versus the Charlotte Hurricanes.
Oh. Or as I affectionately still call the Hartford Whalers, because that's where they're from.
The Hartford Whalers?
Hartford.
Yeah.
Hartford.
So, yeah, Tuesday, September 26th, and we have our light apparel on in celebration and support of our team.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
We're sporting. And, yeah, that's all I got for football. You know, there's a lot of, you know, we're recording as of late, so.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, I got.
Still playing right now.
Yeah, and I got a couple.
What else you got for football,
sports,
Chewy?
Yeah, a couple sports to throw in.
I got
to
do baseball, and then we'll segment into your.
Yeah, we got a stadium update for you as well. So, so yesterday Rice was in town. They're the Owls. They were here to play the University of South Florida. And South Florida Bulls pulled off a great win, 42-29.
Wow, did they?
Yeah, man. And
weren't you there?
I was at the game, and I was a little pissed off at first because they were making a lot of self-inflicting wounds like they always did. But they tightened themselves down. I did notice a lot better discipline out there as far as clock management, as far as how the sideline was handling things. I mean, granted, this is a new coach, and he's still trying to get his boys tuned in, but the locker room celebration, they were very happy because there were players that were here through the previous coach. And I think out of the 3 years a previous coach was here, we had two wins. And
so this is like, a new beginning here.
It is, because they actually ended their 13-game conference skid. They have not won a conference game because they're in their American Athletic Conference, or as my uncle refers to them as the ACC, you know, which is funny. But, so they finally won a conference game after this.
Well, they've been in a big-time drought for a win for a while.
They have. And they also beat the point spread because Rice was favored by 2.5, and they beat Rice by 13 points. So, unfortunately for the bettors, no soup for you unless you betted on USF. And then a quick one before you get into the rest of your sports here. The West Virginia Mountaineers got another win. They beat Texas Tech 20-13. So go Mountaineers.
Oh, yeah, go Mountaineers.
Let's go Mountaineers.
That's another good game there. Wow.
Yeah, man. So good. Oh, and then I didn't get the score, but it was a humiliating loss for Colorado. Deion Sanders got his first loss. Oregon destroyed Colorado Duffies, Buffaloes. Huh? Yeah. The Ducks are a good team. And, you know, Deion is still, you know, fine tuning his team as well. So there's not going to always be no wins at all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's his first season. We can allow that. And hopefully.
We'll allow it.
We'll allow it. We'll allow one loss. Go ahead, Dion.
Yeah.
So let's move on to baseball.
All right.
So we're almost there. There are only like five more games left of the season.
I was about to say, season's coming to an end, right?
Yeah.
Close. We're close to
After
it.
After tomorrow's game, five more games. Right now, we got the Tampa Bay Rays. They are second in the AL behind the Orioles. And today they were playing the Blue Jays. I do not have an update about the Blue Jays and Rays game, but they did play at 1:15. We are now at 6 o'clock, 6:30. What time are we? 7:47 in the evening recording.
7:47 on a Sunday evening and
September
24th. That's all right. I got you.
So, but tomorrow the Rays will be traveling up to Boston to Red Sox.
Boston.
And then their last.
They shouldn't be able to sweep them. Boston's not that good this year.
Well, we hope. That would be great if they do. And then their last three-game series will be against Toronto Blue Jays.
Okay.
The last game finishes up on October 1st.
They just played them in the last series.
Yeah, they're going back again.
Mm.
And so the Orioles are 96 and 59, and the Rays are 95 and 61. And over in the National League, we got Braves 99 and 55, and the Dodgers 95 and 59.
The Braves are leading the National League right now.
Yes.
And okay.
Those are your leaders, those teams. Of course, the Rays and Orioles have clinched the wild card.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be a good playoff season here.
Oh, definitely.
Sure. There are
The Rays are definitely in. At this point, it's about getting home field advantage.
Yeah, the advantage would be the home field. And, you know, if they can just take out the Orioles, man, that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And then they can move on. Now, going up against the Braves, it's going to be a tough game if they went up against them in the World Series.
Yeah, it'll be exciting.
Same as the Dodgers. I mean, I've seen them play before. They're a pretty tough team.
Dodgers are pretty good.
But our Rays, they can pull it through. I've seen them hit some home runs, 1, 2, 3. They can get bases loaded and bring them in.
They are an exciting team to watch.
Oh, yeah, man. They just have you on the edge of the seat sometimes. So I'm looking forward to the playoffs and end of the baseball season. And then we can get into the hockey season, NHL. You know, the new stadium has been approved here in St. Petersburg for the Rays.
Yes, it has been.
In the historic gas plant district.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things I was reading about is that the reason they were planning this over there, and we were talking about this at our favorite tavern down here in Brandon over at Keith's. We were talking about, you know, why would they put it in St. Pete? Why weren't they going to put it in Tampa or another area? And, you know, so I started reading this one article, and it kind of makes sense to me that the historic gas plant district has enough room for 1.4 million square feet of office space and 750,000 square feet for retail space, and 6,000 residences as well will be bordering the stadium.
So. Well, there definitely is a demand for condos and apartments with the amount of people still moving down to the state, and
yes.
It'll be conveniently close to them.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that too will help bring in additional fans or additional business or bring up the economy, I guess taxes, things like that. One of the things that they also were, that was one of the decisions that helped, was the city of St. Petersburg and Pinellas County are considering chipping in the $600 billion to aid in the construction of these residential, retail and office and part of the stadium.
Well, the stadium alone is going to be a cost estimate of $1.2 billion. And the Rays said that they'll put up half the cash, and they have to talk to the county and the city that they're going to and it's still pending public approval. So this isn't set in stone yet, but they're going to ask for a hotel bed tax to pay for the rest of the rest of the cost of the stadium.
So I guess they're going to put up their $600 billion. How much is
$600 million?
$600 million. I'm sorry.
I was going to say $600 billion. That's a quite a big stadium.
Yeah, $600 billion. And yeah, what is the Rays putting up?
That's the other half, because it's $1.2 billion total. So the Rays are going to put up $600 million, and they're going to get the other $600 million out of bed taxes, out of hotels and things like that.
Yeah, but so that's how it's going to be.
Yeah, but it's going to be a fixed roof, which makes sense to me. It would have been nice to have an retractable roof, but it just would cost more. But they're going to have a lot of natural lighting that'll come in to light the place up, because that's the thing about Tropicana. It's always been kind of dull.
It's dark.
Yeah, but it's a 30-plus-year-old design, and they can do a better job these days of bringing natural lighting. A lot of these modern stadiums have it right now. But my issue with it is still the location, because here's the deal. They're going to build the stadium into the parking lot of Tropicana Field right now. So my question is, where are you going to park while they're constructing a brand new stadium? My other problem with it is the location, because the demographics is that more people from Hillsborough County go to Rays games than the local people do. And it's not that far of a drive, but with traffic and everything, it definitely takes over an hour. So if you're looking at going to a weekday game for like you and I, where we live, it's not feasible, because I've done it one time. you don't get home till 11:30, 11:45 at night. And, oh man, I was hurting at work the next day. I really was. Cause you have a couple beers, you're up later than you normally are. Cause I'm usually like a 10 o'clock guy on a work night. I'm a 10 o'clocker. You know, even if I don't fall asleep right away, at least get in the bed, watch some TV, allow myself to kind of just, you know, fade out or anything like that. But, you know, they decided they're going to stay there. But the positive of it is that they were talking silliness, like they were going to split the season between us and Montreal, which was dumb. They were going to play 60 games here or 80 games here, 80 games up there, split the season. So at least the Rays are going to stay here for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, they're secure here. And, you know, I guess once it's built, we can trek on down there and see what it's all about.
I am definitely going to go check it out. I just don't hope they expect the local people to pay for it by a sales tax referendum like they did here with the Buccaneer Stadium. So I'm totally against building a stadium for a rich man when they're already rich. So and then they're going to charge us to go in. I don't buy into that.
And then they're going to charge you $18 for a beer.
Yeah. On top of that. So yeah, as we say that a lot, but there's a lot of segments I can see us talking about it later. So we'll revisit this later on when
we'll have a follow up.
Yeah, definitely.
President Biden has a latest claim/gaffe. This one here, I mean, we've heard all the ones before. Of course.
I can't even keep up at this point, man.
I mean, he's got so many. He can.
What's Joe said now, man?
Yeah. What this is? What Joe said now?
Yeah.
So this one, he had some type of a meeting with some rabbis with the upcoming Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish Day of Atonement.
Yeah,
I know a thing or two about Judaism because I've got family who are Jewish and. We got a good friend of ours who's Jewish, even though he's not a practicing Jew.
Well, it's the Jewish New Year holiday, apparently. I mean,
oh, okay, I was wrong. That was Yom Kippur.
Yeah. Okay.
Shows you what I know. Shut up, Chewbacca.
Yeah. Chang Wong. So, anyways, so he says that he was raised in the Snagues of Delaware.
Okay. What's the Snagues?
Well, Snagues are like their churches.
Okay.
And
so he's saying he's Jewish now.
Yeah, he's saying he's Jewish.
Even though he's Catholic.
So he told these rabbis, quote, you might say, was raised in the Snagues of my state. You think I'm not kidding? I'm not.
He says that a lot, too. When he's about to tell a story, he says, I'm not kidding. I'm serious. I'm not. That tells you he's full of shit.
He said that about the masks last time.
He said that so many times. That's like his fed in line now. Like he's trying to say, I'm there or I'm part of this or anything.
It's quite awkward.
It is.
It's quite awkward to what he says. And it's quite awkward watching it. And he, you know, so he told these rabbis during a call ahead of the Rosh Hashanah New Year. And then, you know, the president, he calls himself a devout Catholic. So now he's Jewish. I don't understand. And he's made this claim there before.
Well, the some people argue you can be both. I say you can't because it's even though we're
conflicting religions.
Even though
religions would conflict.
Well, Judaism evolved into Christianity.
Yes.
However, Christianity is not necessarily Judaism, you know, because the difference with the religions is that Christians believe that Christ became the Messiah, whereas Jews do not believe he was the Messiah. They believe he was a prophet, and they are still waiting for their Messiah to come. That's why they have a different, you know how we have the AD and BC and all that stuff? The Jews still keep their own calendar because they never adopted the whole AD thing. Or now it's BCE, before Common Era and after Common Era, well, or tomorrow, Common Era CE.
Tomorrow, September 25th, is apparently their new year.
Yes.
So here we are, September is the new year.
Well, yeah, they have their own new year. Let me look that up here. I think tomorrow is Yom Kippur, which is you said that was their. You sure about that?
Well, that's what they said.
No, you keep talking. I'll look it up.
Anyways,
I'm playing
So yeah, this guy calls himself a Catholic. The claim was made before, and there's little or no evidence that he is a Snagu attendee or Jewish of any type. And then he also told them, these rabbis, that he said his education that he received was at a congregation, Beth Shalom, in Wilmington, Delaware.
So he's again, you know what he's doing, man. Okay. So real quick on the side, Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. So I was correct at first. It's not Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the New Year. So Yom Kippur, which already passed, which is on September 24th to 25th, which is going to be today and tomorrow, and that is the Day of Atonement. He is just pandering.
I think he's pandering big time.
Yeah, he's just trying to pandering to make himself look like he has this thing about how I got raccoons. Are they raccoons?
There's raccoons, right?
Yeah, we got a little, I got my little raccoon buddies out on the porch.
Hey, Ricky, how you doing?
Yeah. My camera alarm's been going off. You guys didn't hear that, but I knew what it was. As soon as it starts going off, I know they're here. But no, he's got this thing about how he feels like he needs to be a part of everything, and he makes up stories and then ends up sounding like an ass out of it. Even with the Hawaii fires, he brings up his kitchen fire story. He tries to relate. He tries to sympathize, but he is so full of crap with what he says. And I'm at this point, I'm just blown away. If anybody believes anything that comes out of his mouth,
every story,
because he always wants to relate to things, but you don't relate to that many things.
If it was people in Russia, he would say, "Oh, I went to school in Russia before,"
or I had a Russian buddy when I was a kid. Like somehow that counts or something like that.
He thinks that counts, and he even said, he even told these rabbis, and this didn't even have nothing to do with the rabbis. He told them that he got involved with the civil rights movement before he became a senator.
Yeah, I heard that story too. Yeah,
and in 1987, he also claimed that he was not an activist and that he worked at a all black swimming pool in the east side of Wilmington.
Oh, he worked in an all black swimming pool. Yeah, the only white guy there, right?
Only guy. And
said, like, they accepted him back in those days.
Unbelievable. And he said he was involved in what they were thinking and what they were feeling. So this guy just panders to a lot of folks.
Yeah, I'm going to have to put up my boots on this one because all I'm hearing is a bunch of bullshit.
It's just, you know, what's going to be the next one? I don't know, but it's just this guy.
He's always had gaffes. He's known as the gaffer in chief. But, man, I don't know, man. I feel his writers who feed him this stuff don't have anything left to give him anymore.
No. I bet you they wish they had a mute button on his microphone.
Yeah. Well, he turns around and he shakes hands of people who aren't even standing there, because it was in his notes to turn and shake hands. But the clown show at its finest, man. We'll see where this goes.
So we have some Air Force release of detailed images on the secretive B-21 Raptor.
Raider.
I'm sorry. I can't read right today, guys.
That's okay. Well, your glasses are right there. You should probably use them. they do work, man.
I can see now. Amazing.
Look at that. Oh, wow.
Wow. I can't even read my damn writing, folks.
I got bad handwriting, too.
As I get older, I can't see straight. I can't see good.
Yeah, well, I've never been a good writer, so I feel you on that one. I have to rewrite things because I scribble them down so fast.
Oh, it's terrible sometimes. So let's start this over. So they've got to release detailed images of the secretive B-21 Raider. And it is a nuclear stealth bomber, Chewie.
I know a lot about this, but I'm going to let you talk, and I'm going to jump in when I feel it's necessary.
Okay. So it's being developed by Northrop Grumman, and it's going to replace the B-1 Lancer and the B-2 Spirit, and expected to enter service around 2027, which will be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to start doing some experimental flights and flight tests later this year.
Yes. The first flight test is scheduled for this year.
And I wonder where they test those at.
It's going to be out in California.
Okay.
And over Edwards Air Force Base, which is the Air Force Test Flight Center.
Yeah. So the images that were revealed, I seen them. Have you seen them?
Yeah, it looks a lot like the B-2 Spirit, which is basically a big flying wing. It's a big black flying wing, and the black of this is not only does it disappear into the night sky, it's also a stealth material, or it's actually a radar absorbing paint as well. So it makes it harder to detect. And it looks very similar to the B-2. It's a little smaller, but they've been very secretive about of all the capabilities. But you're right. It will have the ability to deliver nukes. And it's also being designed for a possible war against China or Russia in the future, which scares the crap out of me. But it's like Miyagi said in Karate Kid, you train so you don't have to fight.
Yes. Yeah. You have equipment like this, so you do not have to fight. Okay. So each of these aircrafts is costing $700 million each.
Okay. And not bad compared to the B-2. Yeah, the reason why the B-2, there's only been 20 of them that they ever produced, or like 22. The reason why they stopped at 20, because even when it came out in the 90s, they cost $2 billion a piece. So the promise, and it's the same company, Northrop Grumman, designed the B-2 Spirit, and now they're going to be designing, or they've designed the B-21 Raider, and the whole idea is that it's they're taking lessons learned from the B-2, and then they're going to apply it into the B-21, but the capability of this aircraft hasn't been fully revealed yet.
Yeah, that's one of the things that they were talking about, that they were pretty much limiting what they were revealing about it, trying to keep a little bit secretive.
Yeah, because they don't want our enemy to know. I mean, they do know a lot because there's espionage happening all the time or anything. But I love technology. I love our military, you know, because a lot of things that we use come out of the military. It's just I just wish it didn't cost as much. But, I'm looking forward to seeing what this thing's capable of doing. Yeah, and you're right. You said earlier it's going to replace a couple bombers. Yeah, the B-1 is our supersonic bomber right now, and it's unfortunately that they're going to retire it because I guess they found out the mission doesn't necessarily call for needing to be supersonic anymore. It's basically a fighter jet that was designed in the 70s and it was canceled, but it was brought back. But the B-21 is supposed to replace two bombers. Crazy enough, the B-52 they're still expecting to have that plane around for another 30-40 years, which would give it 100-year shelf life, basically. Wow. Because they're going to put new engines on it.
That's incredible.
Yeah, they're still using the same engines from the 50s, and the aircraft mechanics in the Air Force are like, look, we're getting to the point where we can't even go get parts anymore because they don't make parts for it anymore. They have to go to the boneyards and grab parts and then use 3D printing to recreate them. But the cost to do all that is astronomical. It's not worth it. So they finally agreed that they're going to re-engine the B-52. And the B-52 has 8 engines on it, so that's a lot.
They're propellers.
No, they're not propellers. The B-52 is a jet engine. It was a jet engine.
They have 4 jets on each.
So they have what they call nacelles, and each nacelle has 2 engines in it, and there's 4 nacelles, giving it a total of, you know, little math there, 8 engines. So it's so the new engines on the B-52 not only will be more efficient, it'll have more power, it'll use less gas, and it won't be nearly as smoky, because I don't know if you've ever seen a B-52 take off, because it is a 1950s era engine. The way it burns fuel is there's a lot of smoke that comes out the back of it. Not nearly as bad as it used to be, because if you've seen videos from the 60s, it used to be even worse. It's like, man, that's showing off a lot there. So, that's pretty cool news with the B-21. Anything else to add to that?
No, just look forward to seeing some more of it. And we'll give you an update if we get any more news on it.
Sounds good. And I think that's going to get to the end of our show. We don't have anything else right now, unless I missed anything. I don't think we have, but so we're going to finish off with the song of the week here, and this is a Creed Fisher, and it's called "This Place Called USA." So again, we want to thank you for listening to the show number 6 of All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewy. And please send us a feedback at akebonaradio@gmail.com. And of course, you can listen to the show at akebonaradio.com. And again, they'll all be in the show notes. And I also started an email list because one of my uncles asked, hey, you used to do an email list. Do you think you can do that again and let folks know when a new show's available? So that's another thing I'm going to add to my list of once I do get the show uploaded and it's ready to go. So if you want to be on our email list, send me an email at akebonaradio@gmail.com, and you don't have to wait or ask on the Facebook page, hey, when's the next show? You will get the notice and it'll be sitting in your queue. So,
yeah, well, thank you, all you loyal listeners, and spread the word about the Pirate and Chewy show here all over the road. And we look forward to those emails and look forward to having you listening every week.
Can't get a man to work. People get married and they still flirt. Don't pledge allegiance to our flag like we used to do. Good men are willing to give their lives, while politicians take away our rights, saying they know best what's good for you. These days, dads are always gone. Mama's still here, but she's on her phone. Grandma's raising the kids, and the devil is too. If you ask me, this whole world is gone to hell. I speak the truth, but these days the truth won't sell. Wrong or right, I give my life for this place called USA. There's no other place that I'd rather live. Love my wife and teach my kids about the land of the free and the home of the brave. I'm sick and tired of people putting it down. If you don't like it here, get the heck out of town. Go and find somewhere you love, it's fine with me. Cause we don't need people riding the fence. You're either riding with us or you're riding with them. Make up your mind which side you stand. Truth, but these days the truth won't sell. I bleed red, white, and blue in my ways you just can't change. Wrong or right, I give my life for this place called USA. this place called USA. Longer ride, I give my life. This place called USA. Longer ride, I give my life. This place called USA.
After show. So, the border crisis, illegal immigrants, man, this is getting out of hand, dude. And the I hate to be political, but this is all over the road and happens to be a major thing happening this week. We've had another record amount of immigrants coming over the border. And of course, it's illegal. And some people get they don't like that word. But what else are you supposed to call them? You know, I don't know. But
it is what it is.
It is what it is. And you know what it is? It's political correctness and it's wokeness, whatever you want to call it, at the attempt of trying to shut down the narrative of what's happening. And what cracks me up is these sanctuary cities who are all about, hey, come to our city. We'll take you in. We will not turn you into ICE. We will not let the federal government know you're in. Now they're complaining that there are too many people in their city, and especially like New York City, for example, the mayor says, we can't do this anymore. And I'm like, well, it's funny how you went from being a sanctuary city to, hey, come on in, but you've got no problem with the border towns and the ranches and all those places down in Arizona, California, New Mexico, Texas. You say it's okay for them to deal with it. So what is it? Do we have a border crisis or do we not?
We have a massive, you know, we were trying to build the wall back in Trump's administration. And, you know, should we have this wall to separate our country from countries that don't adhere to the laws?
I mean, I have locked doors on my house. I have a fence.
Yeah. People follow those rules. They don't jump in your yard every day.
Well, the thing is, why is this happening and why has it become political? Because during Trump or even President Barack Obama, we didn't have this kind of porridge of people coming in here. What's happening now? What's the difference? And with the economy the way it is, what I've been hearing is that they're worse off even in their own countries, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this economy is bad here and it's bad in other countries as well. But obviously, this is economy driven. We're also to that point where, you know, I believe Santa Claus is in the White House. I mean, he's inviting them. He's not telling. I mean, yeah, they're saying do not come.
Well, but when you give people free shit,
exactly,
and that's your metaphor for Santa Claus. When you give people free shit, that also means you can control them.
Yeah, obviously, they're looking for, you know, control by votes or control by keeping them down and keeping them on the.
Don't worry, I'll fix that.
Dump that. Okay.
Yeah, I'll fix.
So you know, they're trying to keep them on these you know, government welfare programs, trying to keep them on you know, keep them as immigrant laborers. You know, when you come to America, you know, you should be able to excel and do better than you're coming from your native country. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't come here just to be the same or less.
Well, you can keep your culture, but kind of like what we talked about off a segment here about learning English, embracing America, loving America, you know, and it's what our forefathers did. I mean, your forefathers came from overseas and so did mine, and they assimilated. I see a lot of these people now not assimilating and saying, well, I'm not going to learn English. I don't have to do what you tell me. I don't have to adhere to your cultural standards. And it just creates more chaos.
Creates a lot of chaos. you know, there's increased crime because these folks are living in conditions.
Well, they deny that too. They deny that crime's on the rise in this country. That can be another segment in itself. But let's stay focused on the immigration crisis here.
And there's, of course, obviously nobody is coming here for the work. I don't think, because I don't see an increase of immigrants working anywhere. Do you?
Well, you're in a different industry from me, and the argument being is that they come here for the jobs that the rest of the Americans don't do. But what are the jobs? You know, because everywhere I look, I still see help wanted signs all over the place. And it's kind of like what you have dealt with your business, that these people are showing up here unskilled. They claim they have the skill, but they don't have the skill. And it's like, well, if you don't have a skill, what can we do with you?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have the skill, and then obviously the job's not going to get performed to the standards that your customer is wanting. And, you're not going to be able to charge a customer for subpar service.
Yeah.
Or subpar work. And that's what we're getting right now. Subpar service, subpar work.
Oh, everywhere you go.
Products.
Well, even with a friend I was hanging out earlier, we called up a pizza joint to order ahead. They didn't even pick up the phone, man, because they are short-staffed, understaffed, or to the point that they don't even care.
It's all three.
And you're right. And it's just a pizza shop. We're not even talking about, hey, I need you to build me an engine and I need it by in 2 hours. No, you're making me a pizza and you do all the prep work ahead of time. You know, it doesn't take that long to put it together. That's what the prep work is for. So you're ready to do it. It's like making sushi. Most of making sushi is the prep work. It's not the art of making it itself. Once you have all the prep work done, slapping it together is nothing.
Yeah, and it just seems like there's more and more folks coming over the border. I think they had a report the other day that, they seen several thousand immigrants on a train heading north for Arizona, coming across the Mexican border.
And where are we putting these people? Where are we supposed to house them? Because I met a gentleman yesterday. He was part of a charity, and he hustled us to buy a hat, which was fine. But I noticed he had a slight accent, and I asked him, "I'm hearing a bit of an accent here. Where are you from?" He goes, "Oh, I'm from Ireland." You know, and I was like, "Oh, cool." Then he, without even us asking, he brought up he brought up that even in his own country, they're having an immigration crisis, that these people are getting put up in lavish hotels. They're not assimilating, and there's no jobs for them because their economy's in the crapper right now too. So who do you think are going to get the jobs? The citizens, the people who have the identification card to, you know, kind of like in this country, you got to have a social security number, right? To work.
Social security.
They don't have any of that over there. You know, and they have different rules. I'm not familiar with Irish bylaws of employment, but he basically told us that they're moving into Ireland. They're getting put in hotels, yet there's no work for them. So they're just hanging out on the streets. They're just doing whatever, you know.
It's the same as New York City. They're saying they're hanging out in these lavish hotels. They've got scooters that have been provided by the city, and they're not getting up going to work.
They're just hanging out. And then I turn around, especially in New York City, I hear they're complaining about they don't like the food, and they don't like the free food that they're being given because it's not their cultural food, or I don't know, man.
Well, you come to the United States, obviously we're not going to serve, you know, their type of native.
You're not going to get prime rib.
No. And what do we have here? Sandwiches.
You know, that's what they're complaining about. They're complaining about having sandwiches and chips, and they're not getting the food that they're used to from their culture. Well, what'd you expect? I mean, you came here, you're living in a place for free, But you and I both know it's not free because it's based, you know, the taxpayers are paying for this. And then you have the mayor of New York City complaining about we can't take in any more immigrants anymore. But somehow you're okay with it happening on the border. But I'll give Mayor Adams a bit of credit. He does recognize where they come from because Texas has been busing immigrants to these cities. And he's called on the president to do something about this. But I don't think this president or his administration, because you and I both know this president is not in charge at this point. He's just a puppet. But his administration, his advisors, his counselors or whatever, they're not interested in doing anything about it because it distracts from him. But everything's full circle, man. It's still on his watch. I don't care about the excuses. He's still responsible for it.
Yeah, he is. He's responsible from everything from the border on. And we don't have people rushing into Canada like this. And I think Canada has their border under control for the most part.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
look at Canada.
Well, they're the America Light of the North, whatever you want to call it like that, or as John Stewart said, our gay neighbors to the North. No offense to you Canadians out there, but, you're annoying sometimes.
Yeah, okay. They can be. But the thing is, somewhere along the line, these folks have been lied to down in Southern America, or they've been lied to. They're coming from Africa. They're coming from
everywhere. They found a whole group of Asians.
They found Asians.
The scare being it could be undercover Chinese military.
And that's the big problem with that border.
Terrorists.
And I understand, we should have an open borders. Everyone should be able to come to the United States.
We do have open borders between the states.
Yes, we do. And the problem is, we can't be that off guard with the way the world is nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be vigilant on who comes in, and we need to screen people.
Yeah,
we can't just let everybody in. There are a lot of people out there that want to do harm to this country.
Well, it's just the denial on top of that. Like this week, Peter Ducey, who's a White House press member, asked the press secretary about the number of people that have been coming across the border just week alone. Well, she answered the question with a question and started, well, what about the GOP or something? She was already starting to spin, and he intervened and he's like, that's not what I'm asking. I'm not. And then she goes, nope. I gave you the opportunity to answer your question. You cut me off. We're moving on. So she can't even be honest about the question. She asked a question with a question, and then her tactic of shutting down this reporter because he asked her a straight up question. To me, if you're going to be honest about it, just be like, yeah, we're allowing them in because we know that they're going to take jobs that other people don't want, and we're going to take care of them because that's what America does. Something, says play some sympathy thing just to, but she couldn't even do that.
Not their answer.
Because she couldn't even answer.
And that's not even their intentions anyways.
But it's not her intentions, but she couldn't even answer what's even remotely close to what their agenda is. And that's where I even know Democrats are getting frustrated. What is the goal of this? Why are you doing this? I say again, because it creates distraction and it creates chaos. You put these local towns, these border towns, these ranches, whatever, in chaos, and they're complaining that we don't have resources, we can't sustain this, and they put people down there. But Texas Governor Greg Abbott, he did declare an invasion, which means he can alert the National Guard, and he has the National Guard down there, and they were setting up barbed wire checkpoints and everything, and you know what happened? The federal government went in there and clipped some of that barbed wire. And what that scares me with? That means that the federal government is actively fighting against the Texas government. Does it have to come down to a shootout now? Because I don't know how to negotiate with these people anymore, because talk ain't working anymore. Trying to make deals with them ain't going to work anymore. Trying to admit that there's even a border crisis is not working for anymore. I look at it this way. If somebody invades my house and they're uninvited, there's going to be some shooting going on, and I'm going to ask questions later. I'm not advocating for violence here in any stretch of the means, but how do you deal with that when the federal government is actively fighting Texas and saying, first of all, you can't do this, and we're going to come clip all your barbed wire barriers and everything. What are you supposed to do with that?
Yeah, the gall of them to come down here to the border and do that because they haven't even, they've been absent.
I would arrest them first. I would at least try it the diplomatical way as like, no, we're arresting you. You need to drop your firearm. If you have one on, you need to, we're arresting you because you're violating.
How does the army arrest the army? I mean, that just doesn't
make any sense. Well, it's border patrol. It's border patrol, which is federal. And the National Guard, even though it's a division of the army, it is still ran by the state. And I'm not even sorry about this. It's the Texas has a right to their sovereignty.
They do.
And the federal government is supposed to be responsible for that, but they're not doing it. And they're actively fighting against, they're basically saying, we are going to let these people in and you're not going to do anything about it. But there's some tension going on now between our governments. We got our own government fighting local and federal government. And I'm like, oh boy, This can.
And what happens if that happens in Arizona and New Mexico?
Yeah, well, this.
What happens if Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, they all band together?
Yeah, well, this
and they can say enough.
This can be this can blow up into something more than it is. And they said the major news networks aren't even really covering these stories
at all.
Unless you watch conservative news either on YouTube or Rumble or Fox News. No, the major networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, they're not even talking about it.
They're going to keep that.
Well, they're running cover for Joe.
They are. They're going to keep it on the down low because, you know, they're in their pockets as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't have any much more to add to this, but it's
just a growing problem. Yeah. And it's just, you know, immigration is good for some things. It's good for.
There's a process, and let's do the process.
Let's do the process. It's good for replenishing the workforce. It's also good to bring fresh new minds into our country, fresh new talent, people that can, you know, produce. There's been a lot of immigrants that have done things in this country in the past that have brought things to this country, that have invented things, that have they've been sports athletes, they've been TVs.
We're a country
actors.
Of immigrants. We're not against immigrants. We're against doing it illegally, and we're against creating chaos when you don't need to have chaos.
The chaos.
Well, why create chaos?
Chaos is the main thing right now. It is just really overblown.
Well, Alfred, in one of the Batman movies, he said some people just want to see the world burn.
And that's what's happening right now. It's just, and you know, the thing is Trump recognized it as well. And that's why he tried to get the wall going.
And the wall that he did build was effective. Even the immigrants who tried to get through it was like, wow, this is tough.
Yeah,
you know, it
they have been auctioning off, by the way, the feds, they've been auctioning off all the remaining construction parts.
Oh, yeah, they're trying to make some money off of it now.
The
unbuilt portions of the wall, the materials. Yeah. I mean, again, the arrogance, man.
Yes, arrogance.
Jeez.
It's all created.
Look, man, I understand.
Smoke.
Yeah, a lot of smoke and mirrors, a lot of kabuki theater. I mean, I understand to a degree if you don't like Donald J. Trump. I get it. He's a big mouth, whatever. But policy-wise, the guy was effective in my book. And you got rid of him because you didn't like his big mouth. But look at the results, man. Look at the results that's happening in this country with inflation, with possible World War III.
It's not always greener on the other side.
Yeah, well, you got rid of him because you were supposed to bring in the adults, because that's what they call Joe Biden. He's the adult in the room. And look at the results of it, you know? But they'll still argue it's better than Trump. Is it really? Is it? Because I'd rather have a big mouth who's an asshole that can deliver a good policy that makes people believe in a good economy like we did, versus somebody that goes out there and lies in your face and tries to tell you how he relates to every story that every heard. So he goes, I'm not kidding. You know, I'm serious. No, you're not serious because you're full of shit. You had your writers make up that story for you to try to pander. And I can't stand pandering. You're not part of that. Don't even try to play that.
Like
you're part
I said,
of it.
The wall was a good, you know, a good way to get things going, and we just didn't have enough time. I you know, if he had another 4 years, you know, I'm not saying that it could have got done, but they could have probably had that wall maybe halfway or even more than halfway built by now.
The money, they said the money we sent to Ukraine could have built that wall back and forth four times by now.
We sent a lot of money over there.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, so I don't know, man.
Well, and you know, that's another story. That war might be wrapping up soon, they're saying. And that's a whole different story we can talk about.
Yeah, we'll save that for another show, because I've been hearing whispers of either they're going to come to a truce or Russia's going to truly take over Ukraine.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the latter.
Russia taking over Ukraine, yeah, which is scary. Scary. I don't care for the government of Ukraine. I don't care for the government of Russia either. I don't care for our own government, but I always feel for the commoners, the people who just want to live a normal life, who just want to work, earn a paycheck, pass their legacy down to their kids, maybe retire for a while. And these assholes are screwing all this up.
Oh yeah.
But
life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness
is seemed to be a hard thing these days. But yeah, we'll save that for another segment.